You can meet and hear Matt Walsh, Ross Douthat, Carol Tobias, Matt Harrison, Hans Feeney, Wesley Smith, Will Whedon, Jonathan Fisk, and Tom Korchak at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th in Chicago. Registration is $125. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The one and only 2019 Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here with leaders from across the country and all around the world who are all united by a shared belief in the glory of God and the power of prayer.
I believe that God is love, which is more accurate than saying that love is God. God is the epitome of love. He defines what love is.
No, not so, dear brother. I did not point you down that path so that baptism should grant the liberty to sin. Quite the opposite.
To stray from God's created order and God's created design then becomes a direct attack on the triune God of love in whose image we are made.
Southern Illinois bird watchers love Issues, etc.
It used to be something you didn't discuss in polite company, sex, and now those days are gone. We are expected to talk about it, think about it, and especially think about it all in the same way, whether you are a man or a woman. Women are expected, at least according to the dictates of modern feminism, to not only think about sex like men think about sex, but also to practice sex the same way men do. It's kind of an odd, counterintuitive proposal on the part of feminism that women, if they want to be fully realized women, exercise their own power, that they need to think and act more like men. It's not only in the area of sex, but it's also in the area of, well, just about everything when it comes to feminism. But how does taking feminism's advice and thinking and acting like men when it comes to sex, how has that affected women? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live on this Thursday afternoon, the 16th of May. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Suzanne Vinker will join us in the first part of this hour. We're going to talk about women, men, and sex. Then it's This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. We'll talk about a Trump Cyrus gold coin offered by Jim Baker and Lance Wallnau. Suzanne Vinker is a regular guest. She's a married mother of two children in St. Louis, a regular contributor at Fox News, author of several books, including her latest, The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage, and a recent column for The Federalist titled, Ladies, Stop Trying to Have Sex Like Men. Suzanne, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
You asked the question, where did the idea that women could and should have indiscriminate sex with men originate? What is the answer to that question?
So I call it a perfect storm, and that storm would be the combination of the sexual revolution in the 60s, which was, of course, a big promoter of commitment-free sex, or what they called then free sex, I guess, combined with the birth control pill. That those two things really changed the direction of the relationship between men and women and marriage and families pretty much permanently from that point on, because when you really think about the two together, it's a very potent combination. The birth control pill speaks for itself. You have the ability to not get pregnant. And then the culture is essentially saying, hey, sex doesn't need to be within the confines of marriage or even really a relationship. It's just for your enjoyment. So those two together created this new idea that what separates women and men, which has always been, of course, pregnancy, that women get pregnant and men do not, and that that's all best done in the context of marriage since it produces children. Well, when you remove that from the equation, then the idea was that, oh, women will be just like men then because they don't get pregnant either. And so people jumped on board with that. And what we have found 40, 50 years later is that it may keep women from getting pregnant, but it can't do anything about female nature. And that is still just as different from men, male nature today as it was back then.
So let's make this very clear. Before the advent of the pill, what was the more or less common assumption about sex?
that sex produces children. It's very hard to keep that from happening. We don't want to keep that from happening. Marriage is where children belong, and people created lives where marriage and family was at the center, and sex was understood to be within that context. Now, even if people did have sex prior to marriage, we still agreed on the fact that a commitment was clearly necessary. And so even if we didn't agree on the marriage part, we at least agreed that commitment was vital before anybody would sleep with someone else. And when you upend that entirely and say, oh, you don't even need that, well, that just changes the whole ballgame.
Obviously, the idea that men should sow their wild oats is objectionable on ethical grounds. But for the sake of argument, what's the problem for women with the idea that women can and should sow their wild oats just
right.
like men?
So I was very clear, I tried to be in this piece, that I am not arguing that it's fine for men to sleep around and women not to. I don't think either should do that. What I did want to point out is that there is just simply a physical difference between the sexes that allows men to, quote unquote, get away with doing that more easily than a woman can, because a woman's body is saturated in oxytocin, which is known as the bonding hormone. And while men have oxytocin, they have a much smaller amount and they're more favored with testosterone. So when they do engage in what we call casual sex or hookups, they are more easily able to disconnect after the fact than women are. The research has shown that even sexually liberal women find this to be the case, so that your attitudes about it don't match the body. And so when they have the experience and then they wonder why they're still thinking about the guy the next day, it doesn't match their attitudes if they're very liberal about sex, but yet it's still a factor. So that's the difference I wanted to point out there.
So you quote from Jordan Peterson, who recently made this observation. People treat sex like it's casual. It's not. Sex is unbelievably complicated. It's dangerous. It involves emotions. It involves pregnancy. It involves illness. It involves betrayal. It reaches right down into the roots of someone. You don't play with something like that casually. Well, you can, but you'll pay for it. You say that that should be repeated over and over again. Why is that?
Jordan Peterson has unbelievable ability to, in the course of an interview, just rattle off something very deep off the top of his head. I don't have that ability. But so I've capitalized on this. I said, this needs to be repeated over and over again. Hearing it once is not enough. That is precisely what sex is about. And we do not discuss it with respect to how he described it ever. And once we understand that that's really true, what he's saying, and you hear it over and over again, then all of the things that are going on between women and men, whether it's, you know, the Me Too movement or the so-called rape culture or delaying marriage, all the stuff that has come about as a result of this bogus idea that men and women are equal sexually starts to become clearer. And understanding the depths of what he was saying about sex, it just takes it to a completely different level, because you're thinking about sex differently and then it being just no big thing.
There are women and men who are researching the subject of the hookup culture and its impact on women. What is that research, even if it's simply letting women tell their stories? What is that telling us about women and casual sex?
So what the research shows is that the dominant notion of regret for women when they engage in casual sex is self-blame or feeling very bad, which goes back to what I was saying about the oxytocin. It's an internal mechanism that says, I don't think I should have done that. I feel really bad. I'm conflating, or I'm thinking that sex is no big deal when it really is. And the dominant notion of regret for males is in the choice of the person he chose to hook up with, as opposed to this self-blame. So rather than go into a hole and feel really bad about himself, he tends to regret that he chose the wrong person to hook up with, because maybe she can't stop thinking about him and she calls him and texts him when he doesn't want that. Or he realized that he hurt her and subsequently feels bad on her part, on behalf of her, I should say, as opposed to the fact that he did that.
Could you just kind of summarize some of these stories that we are hearing from those who are looking into how casual sex affects women?
Well, I just gave in that particular article, I pulled that from my new book that's coming out this year, Women Who Win at Love. And in that book, there's one chapter in particular that has just loads of anecdotes of women and men who have engaged in big time casual sex. I mean, people, 10, 15, 20 partners, and their stories about what they came away with. And there was a common thread in those stories, which is basically what we've been talking about, that he comes away feeling bad for her or thinking that she could have the same attitude as he does. You know, men believe this too. Young men, they talk the same thing. So they think, well, yeah, women are just like men, so why can't they do this too? And they're realizing after the fact that it's not working out the way the culture tells them.
You say with uncommitted sex, women are playing a game they can't win. I mean, that's Jordan Peterson-esque in itself. What do you mean by that?
Exactly what we've been talking about, that you're trying to force something based on what you've been told by the culture is not only acceptable, but doable, that there is no difference between women and men when it comes to this. And it's just been societies making women feel bad for being sexual beings. You know, that's kind of the common theme that they hear. So they think, you know, they believe that. And so they try it out and they're finding out after the fact that it's not working, and they cannot seem to marry the fact that their attitudes are casual and their feelings after the fact are not. They can't make sense of that. And of course, it only makes sense to people who truly understand the research and understand the difference between men and women and accept it. But if you're constantly trying to fight that fact and trying to be quote unquote equal with men, you're always perplexed as to what's happening here. My body isn't matching my mind.
Why won't the leading lights of feminism admit that among the many ideas they've had about improving the lives of women, this one, the notion that women can and should sow their wild oats like men, has proved to be a very, very bad one?
Well, it would completely undo their ultimate goal, of course, which is to get, quote unquote, 50-50 men and women doing the exact same tasks, both outside the home and inside the home. And it would also undermine their idea that marriage is ultimately oppressive to women, and they want women to postpone marriage inevitably. And what are you going to do in the meantime, right? So if you're going to postpone marriage, then what are we going to do about the sex part while you're having, because obviously if you're in your 20s, you know, you're going to have relationships with people. So it serves their best interest to believe that quote-unquote free sex is a perfectly doable, progressive-minded lifestyle while you're getting your life in order before you, God forbid, get married, and then it all comes tumbling down, which is not how you and I view it, but that's how they view it.
Before I let you go, Suzanne, I wanted your thoughts on something that occurred this week in social media. That was, and I know you've talked about this in social media, and it was actress Alyssa Milano issuing a moratorium on sex for women in light of the laws that were passing in several states that were restricting access to abortion and other legislative efforts there. She essentially said to women, we should stop having sex until women are treated equally with men. What did you make of that?
So that coincidentally came a day after I had written this piece about that we're talking about. And so I wrote another one on that, kind of using her words against her and saying that I think that's a fabulous idea, only it should only apply to unmarried women, single unattached women. And then I gave an explanation as to what would come of that if you stopped having sex, which is marriages would be formed once again, families could be formed again, children wouldn't lose their fathers. Like I made this whole kind of argument for why that one single act of unmarried women not having sex would have this wonderful effect on society. I just kind of twisted it, and I thought it was a great idea, done my way.
Suzanne Venker is a married mother of two children in St. Louis and a regular contributor to Fox News. She's author of several books, including her latest, The Alpha Female's Guide to Men and Marriage, and a recent column for The Federalist titled, Ladies, Stop Trying to Have Sex Like Men. You can read it and purchase Suzanne's books at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Suzanne, thank you.
Thank you.
Pastor Chris Rosebro joins us on the other side of the break. Our feature this week in Pop Christianity will feature a Trump Cyrus coin being offered by Jim Baker and Lance Wallnau. Stay tuned.
We would like to overlook the difficulty of daily repentance and death to our sins in the interest of progressing to a more advanced spirituality.
Rebecca Curtis from her new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Somehow, spiritual advancement always amounts to our getting to spend more time on the things we like and calling it stewardship or service.
You can purchase and download an audio version of Ladylike, Living Biblically at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Ladylike, Living Biblically by Rebecca Curtis and Rose Adel.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces, lcms.org/armedforces.
Emmanuel Press is a Lutheran-owned business in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in operation since 2004. That's 15 years of publishing liturgical and devotional books, 15 years of collaborating with Lutheran authors, artists, and translators. Thanks to our loyal customers and Issues Etc., we look forward to many more years of confessing and teaching the Christian faith. Visit us online at emmanuelpress.us, EMMANUEL press.us.